I wanted you to feel the spirit of these splendid young men whom the Lord has brought to his service by the gift of prophecy. To that I bear humble witness. My brethren, I'm sure, understand that when they know the way by which these brethren have been called. We now come to the closing moments of a momentous conference, history-making, and in many ways a conference that has great significance because of the times in which we live. Perhaps never have we turned a page of the history of the church with greater challenge, with greater problems, or with greater promise for the future, as we have as we turn this page of history today. I have listened with great satisfaction to the testimonies of my brethren. I believe you've felt the unity in your first presidency. These noble men, President Tanner, President Romney, and the feeling of oneness that has been expressed by the 12, and all of these brethren of the general authorities. There's a bond that is to be found among those of call to these positions that's stronger than the ties of blood relationship. So deep, so wonderful, so strengthening, except for which we probably couldn't walk the path that we're asked to walk at these times. In the midst of similar circumstance, the Prophet Joseph Smith was now in the Liberty Jail, trying to think of something that he could do to strengthen his people. He wrote some significant words. He said, therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives and bring into light all the hidden things of darkness, wherein we know them and they are truly manifest from heaven, these things should be attended to with great earnestness. You know, brethren, he wrote, that a very large ship is benefited very much by a very small helm in the time of a storm, by being kept workways with the wind and the waves. Therefore, dearly beloved brethren, let us cheerfully do all things that lie in our power, and then may we stand still with the utmost assurance to see the salvation of God, for his arm shall be revealed. I was down to Manti some years ago. As we came out of the Saturday night leadership meeting, there was a heavy snowstorm. As we drove to the home of the stake president, he stopped his car and we turned back up to the Temple Hill. And there was the lighted temple standing majestically there. We sat there in silence for a few moments, inspired by that sight of that beautiful, sacred place. And he said, you know, Brother Lee, that temple is never more beautiful than in times of a dense fog or in times of a heavy, severe storm. Never is the gospel of Jesus Christ more beautiful than in times of intense need or in times of a severe storm. I come now to this time of soul searching. Somehow I've had the feeling that during the expressions here, where my name has been mentioned, that I've sometimes had a feeling they were talking of somebody else than myself. And I really think that's so. Because I can't go through, one can't go through that experience that I've gone through these last 3 days and be the same as I was before. I am different than I was before Friday morning. I can't go back to where I was. Because of the love and faith and confidence that you, the people of the Lord, have reposed in me. So you have been talking of somebody else than I was. You've been talking of somebody that you want me to become, which I hopefully, pray God, I may with His help become. We have announced time and again the great coverage of this conference. Millions have been listening. You know, we're being judged by what emanates from this tabernacle. I have a session with the missionaries, and their attention has been called to something frequently that I may have the temerity to mention to you today. The Lord said here in a great revelation, "Therefore cease from all your light speeches, from all laughter, from all your lustful desires, from all your pride, light-mindedness, from all your wicked doings." I wondered sometimes when we forget that all we say in this sensitive building is going out over the air from a sacred assembly. It doesn't mean we should be long-faced, should not show our joy, but we ought to couch our expressions of joy with not the audible expression that swells up to a great crescendo that might be mistaken by those who are listening on the outside. I think it'd be well for us to remember that. We're the saints of the Most High God, and we should be an example of what the Lord here has counseled us to be in His service. There's been some great compensations that have come to me in these last few days. Never have my family, the intimate family of mine, been drawn more closely together. One by one, these precious children, grandchildren of mine, and my own dear companion, and I have reason to believe that those beyond sight have been very near to us, their family and mine. There has been a unity and a pledge to me that they feel that this is their call. And I've said to them, my sermons will be no better than the lives of my family. I'm pleading with them to set an example before the church. And so I come to you in these closing moments, and as one who is as a patriarch to the church holding this position, I have a right to extend a blessing to you. I'm not concerned about how much you remember in words of what's been said here. I am concerned about how it's made you feel. What are you going to take back with you when you go? What are you going to give to your families? What are you going to give to your members, your wards and stakes and missions? If you can catch the spirit of what's gone here during this conference, and let them feel that great unity now, and could you take with them, to them, my love and blessing, and assure them that the presidency of the church and the general authority really love the members of this church everywhere. The lowly, the mighty, the educated, the uneducated, wherever they are, Will you please assure them of our love and our concern about them and their welfare? They have come to me even in these last few days, a deepening and reassuring faith. I can't leave this conference without saying to you that I have a conviction that the Master hasn't been absent from us on these occasions. This is his church. Where else would he rather be than right here at the headquarters of his church? He isn't an absentee master. He's concerned about us. He wants us to follow where he leads. I know that he's a living reality, as is our Heavenly Father. I know it. I only hope that I can qualify to the high place to which he has called me and which you have sustained me. I know with all my soul that these things are true. And as a special witness, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that there's no shadow of doubt as to the genuineness of the work in which we're engaged, the only name under heaven by which mankind can be saved. My love goes out to my own family, to my associates, to all who are within the sound of my voice, even the sinners. I would wish that we'd reach out to them and those who are inactive and bring them into the fold before it's too late. God be with you. May I have the same feeling as perhaps the Master had when he bid goodbye to the Nephites. He said he perceived that they were weak. But if they would go to their homes now and ponder what he'd said, he would come again and instruct them on other occasions. We perceive that. You can't absorb all that you've heard and we've talked about. But go to your homes now, remember what you can and get the spirit of what's been done. And when you come again or we come to you, we'll try to help you further with your problems. I bear you my witness to these things and leave you my blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.